Attention shoppers, we now have taste in the bread aisle. Dave's Killer Bread. That's right, an organic bread that's no longer a sedative for your taste buds. Dave's Killer Bread is on a mission to make the most of the loaf, to rid the world of GMOs, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial ingredients, and plant the seeds of good in all that they bake. Killer taste, killer texture, and always organic. Dave's Killer Bread. Bread amplified.
Now, the business update. After a difficult year, experts are optimistic a recovery is imminent, with key indicators improving. And yet, men everywhere continue to dress as if they just rolled out of bed.
The economy is ready to bounce back. Are you? At Charles Tirrett, we have the high-quality shirts and smart menswear to get you back to your best. Try our introductory offer with three shirts for only $99, delivered free. Use code POD99 at ctshirts.com or any Charles Tirrett store.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Wolves Fancast. David Evans here on the podcast this week. Gully's here.
Good evening.
Back-to-back appearances.
The manager's obviously seen my good form and thought I could replicate it this week as well.
Exactly.
Start building the team around you now.
That's it. We don't want to do a Diogo Jota, though. Don't keep playing me if I'm not doing my
okay.
bit in the business.
Okay, right? Good. Good to know. Dan's here as well.
Hello.
On the podcast this week, we're going to talk about Brighton, of course. We're going to talk about Spurs and all the other stuff in between. We'll do the advert in a second, gentlemen. But we thought we'll talk about Wolves, as it's a Wolves podcast, of course, because we need to talk about Wolves. Patricio, deal confirmed, gentlemen. €18 million deal. We support him this week. It's the deal that we knew was always going to happen. We were just waiting for it to be confirmed.
Did Wolves actually report it as Euros as well?
They
haven't put it in.
Tax fiddle.
I mean, we can do that ourselves, obviously, in terms of the value.
So it's what, €16 million around that?
15.8.
Has the Euro not surpassed us yet?
I'm still in Benidorm mode. You see, I'm still working in euros.
Someone get the exchange rate calendar calculator. Right. Yeah, so €18 million, about £16 million pound. This is a great deal, though. I know three would have been nice. I mean, three would have been very good. But ultimately, we knew there was going to be some kind of monetary fee. And for what Patricio has already provided so far, this is a cracking deal. What do everybody think?
It's what you say. It's bargain, ain't it? When you look at the likes of Chelsea paid €50 million for Kepa and Liverpool paid
more, 70, something like that.
And
million, yeah.
Liverpool pays €65 for Alisson. Yeah. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
And you might not be as flashy as some of them, yeah, with the ball at his feet or anything like that. But he does exactly what a keeper needs to do, as good as anyone. And we'll have him as long as we can have him. And so
I still hold my theory that I wouldn't be surprised if he's not here next summer.
Still?
Yeah, I still have that theory. Just because of Lloris at Spurs isn't going to be there for much longer. Wouldn't be surprised if De Gea moves on, although I think he'll probably sign a new deal. And I think they'll look at someone like that, like the Van der Sar Fulham theory.
Unless we get relegated, he's still going to be a pricey acquisition for anybody.
But they'll pay.
We'll make profit on him either way, won't we?
If this summer has taught anything, is that people will pay a ridiculous amount for a goalkeeper just that they can get a stable, good goalkeeper.
I don't know. He doesn't feel like the kind of player to me who would be absolutely key in terms of... The fees that have been paid for goalkeepers recently are all to do with keepers who can play out from the back, from what I've seen.
And probably long-term with age as well.
Yeah, obviously Kepa's a young guy. Alisson's a pretty young guy. They've probably got 10 years ahead of him. Patricio, probably on the wrong side of the age scale. Unbelievable.
He's
30, 31. But even then...
I mean, goalkeeper's gone for a good... He's got a good few years left, isn't
he? They do, but everyone wants that potential resale value on everyone as well these days. So
he could be seen as a stopgap for a top 16.
Potentially.
Good
potentially.
Keeper. They can look
like Van der Sar when he went to United.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They saw Man United saw him at Fulham and thought, you're probably a bit bigger than Fulham, aren't you?
Well, he was. He always was.
Let's talk about the January transfer window, and the reports in the papers suggest that Wolves' top priority in the winter period will be getting a striker, with Origi from Liverpool being touted as on the shortlist. It begs the question, Judge, which we'll talk about a bit in Brighton, and we've talked about a bit on this podcast. It's a bit difficult to get a quality proven striker in the January transfer window. I know Wolves have got the money, but are they really going to splash the cash with the FFP hovering over them? Is it possible now with Wolves?
Well, I think
it's always been regardless, an issue, isn't it?
Regardless of FFP, we can throw caution to the wind a little bit more with the fees that we pay anyway, given the television money that comes from the Premier League. That's just a given. Mm. Every club in the Premier League has some kind of spending power relative to the rest of the world. So I don't think you could use that as a reason to not spend money, especially with the kind of finance that Ferguson already is available to them. I think the idea of getting a top quality striker in January that is going to do the business straight away for us, that's always, it's a unicorn. is probably what it is.
They've got to fit the system.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to change the system slightly to fit the player, but that's a different conversation.
And again, you wouldn't want to get a clone of Raul Jimenez because you need variety in your forward areas. But Origi, again, that you have to trust in the amount of work that goes into this shortlist being drawn up. Mm. It's not like they're plucking the name out of thin air.
Hey, they're getting 5,000 people a time.
Well, there you go. So if he's shortlisted from a list of 5,000, there's obviously a lot of work and attributes that they like. So,
and I think it was telling with Brighton that they brought Jimenez off, and eventually Bonatini came on, and they are technically the same type of player. There was no variety, like you say, there was no variety.
That's
there.
Quite disparaging to Jimenez saying, Bonatini.
But you know what I mean, though. It's not, they are in the style of what they play. I would thought they were a similar
in terms,
type of player.
Yeah, back to goal touch. I think Jimenez is a bit more of a physical presence, but in essence, they do the same job. I would expect. I think Nuno expects the kind of same kind of job from them. Is what I'd say. Rather than if Origi came in, he'd probably be expected to run in behind a little bit more, show his pace and power a little bit. You wouldn't ask players like Jimenez and Bonatini to do that just because they're not necessarily capable of it.
They're the players that bring the play on. They continue the play for the rest of the side.
Yeah, but what I'd say is, well, Jimenez is not the reason we're not scoring goals. I still don't think that.
Origi, what do we think on that one? Would you be happy with an Origi transfer down the Moulinex?
Would you class Origi as like the equivalent of a Fabi coming down to us last season?
A higher end version of, I'd suggest so.
Maybe we should break the bank and get a Fabi back in January. We'll sell him for 14 million, then buy him back for 15 million. I don't know where we're going to go. I said like a few weeks back, and there's only one striker really out there. It's Dzeko. That's the only one I'd want instead.
Could you see Dzeko?
He wants to move back to the Prem.
But would he go to Wolves, though? I know that he...
False and money talks, Dave.
I don't think he'd swap the Champions League for that, though, is what I'd say. It's a great option. I think he'd be excellent for us.
He's coming towards the end of his career as well. Yeah. One last big payday for him.
I just think he'd still look at a top six, personally.
He's still performing at that level. Mm. He's scored a lot of goals for Real Madrid already this season.
If Wolves are... I know money talks, but Wolves are like, for something like 13th, 14th. Is he going to look at Wolves and think, oh yeah, that's a great prospect to go to? I know it's in the Premier League. We've still got to remember that we are still a promoted team. I know we've got this money, but we're not.
That's why having this like 5,000 player shortlist isn't really feasible, is it? Because, so we say we're still the promoted side. I said if we could get to the January time and we're roughly just outside the other places, we might be able to talk someone decent into coming, but we've got to get into that position, haven't we?
Especially if they know our strikers aren't necessarily firing on all cylinders and there's a gap in the market for them. If they know they're going to be starting games, there's a ready-made supply chain as well into the chances, which I think you can't really argue with that. We still create a lot. So it's there for a striker to come in and really you hit the ground running.
It's like what you said, though. Finding a striker in January is like finding a good turkey on Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Unicorn.
Or a nice woman on Valentine's Day. Just them short and far in between.
Just don't exist.
No.
But Origi's not a bad option, is what I'd say.
Oh, we could do a lot worse. We could get Bonatini or something. I've got to go back to what he said just. He don't run. He's like a tugboat at the moment. When he comes up, we said the other day, when he comes off the bench, it's deflating to see him coming off the bench when we need a goal.
It's more apparent at this level just because you know the players are faster, quicker, stronger in every kind of department. But you know,
when we were struggling for a goal again on Saturday, going back to something, we ain't got a plan B, have we? Why didn't he go to like a flat back four, take Cody off, Bennett and Bolly in the centre, and put like you've got Jimenez and Bonatini up front?
We're going to talk about Brighton in a sec.
We need to talk about it now, Dave. I'm still seething.
We'll carve into Brighton in a second. Before we end that bit, was there anyone else striker-wise, or is it a bit too early at the minute? Because I can't think of anyone personally off the top of my head.
It's not a position where there are a load of players out there and available. If there is a good striker in form somewhere, he's probably playing for a top club.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the level we're operating at now, you can't just bring in a striker for the sake of it if he's just going to do what we're doing.
Just even like second string strikers who are in the Prem now who've got decent like records for scoring, your Defoes, they're not the sort of striker that we're going to need in January, are they, a Defoe? That wouldn't suit our system, would that?
Maybe not. Llorente, maybe at Spurs. Yeah. You know, he might do a job, but again, getting on a bit.
And it's interesting looking at form at the minute. If Wolves have got a couple of results against Watford and Brighton, you got to Christmas and you thought Wolves were in the same position now, 8th and 9th, and the midfielders were scoring, you probably wouldn't be having this conversation. You'd be thinking, well, we're still fine.
Yeah. Which is why I still think if we get the wider forwards firing, that the issue almost disappears. When you think about it, I think my brother put it in the blog on this weekend.
Little drop there, little plug.
There you go. We only scored about 18 goals out of 82 from central strikers, what you consider central strikers, Afobe and Bonatini, between them. That's not a high percentage.
Season, isn't it? Jota and Cavallero were scoring for most weeks won the last season.
Exactly.
Jota can't score for Toffee at the moment. Cav's only just coming back. Costa hasn't scored enough this season for what the chances that he's had.
But I think that will turn at some point.
It's got to turn at some point.
You can't just pin all your hopes on a striker. It's probably what the crux of it is.
And
Nuno doesn't play that way.
No, it's a system. It's a system very much based on what I always said, the Spain 2010.
Yeah.
Euro model. Was it Spain 2010 when it was
a false nine?
Or was it 08, sorry, where basically it was just, it was the first time with a false nine. It was all set on midfielders, and that's how he bases it on.
That's the thing that's really discouraging when you're chasing a game. We're just going back to last season, when we go beyond, we struggle, don't we?
Yeah.
Because you haven't got that focal point in the box when you get into good wide positions.
I'm just going to end the news bit. Just on a more serious note, we know of the events at the weekend at Leicester City with five people dying in the helicopter crash, including the Leicester chairman. And it's just, what is not just emotional about that, the fact that it's the same thing that, you know, you should never go to a football match and not go home, but also what that man did for Leicester City. Not only did he provide a dream, which a lot of teams of our level would dream of, if it's to see your team win the Premier League, but what he's invested in that area, what he's done for the community, what he's done for charity, has been fantastic. And I think it's a legacy that will never be forgotten. And also it's going to be a legacy of, unfortunately, the people who was with him on that flight, including the pilots as well, there. And it's such a sad tragedy, but I'm sure our thoughts are with their family, friends, that it's a difficult time as well.
I think it's worth noting that this is a guy who came from abroad. People would have argued, you know, what does he know about the English game, football, whatever it is.
It's just the stereotype kind
of
thing. Yeah,
of a foreign owner. And the outpouring of emotion and grief that's greeted his death is remarkable in that context. Mm. And he's obviously, you know, touched the lives and thousands of people, which football does.
Mm. Right, we're going to talk about the game at the weekend. And it was back-to-back defeats for Wolves, the first time since April 2017 with a 1-0 defeat to Brighton away. Glenn Murray getting the goal, because of course it was his 100th goal, wasn't it? Of course it was going to be the stat when I saw that flash up. And again, just on a serious note, before we get into Brighton, as you may have heard, there was a Brighton fan unfortunately die after the game on Saturday. And again, our thoughts are with his family and friends. Well, gentlemen, the big headline for this would be all filler, no killer. Wolves throwing everything at Brighton in the second half and just nothing happening. Is this a result that we should be concerned about now, given after the Watford, or is it just a classic one of those things in football?
You're going to get these, I think.
I think if we're still playing now, we wouldn't have scored. It just was one of them games, wasn't it?
It was.
Because you could have got an attack on another day.
Yeah, yeah, and you just got to question the final touch. I mean, even the chance that Ryan Bennett had towards the end, he didn't hit it cleanly. I imagine he's sat up at night now thinking about it. You know, if he just caught that sweetly, it's probably flying into the net, but he gave the keeper a chance by scuffing it. But, you know, it's a tough one to take. It's a bitter pill to swallow. What are you supposed to do when they didn't offer anything as an attacking threat?
With the goal, with all the respect to Brighton, they would. They were nothing.
Just came to attack off our corners. That's the only time I ever felt worried.
Even then, they managed to mess them up.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't, you know, cutting us open. We left them space because we were breaking forward.
I was so surprised how average they were.
Yeah,
personally, so surprised. Given all the good things you see about them and hear about them,
they were just organised.
But they were well drilled, very well.
But you look at that side again. If you go back to the Championship days, the vast majority of that team is still playing. Mm. That back four was their Championship promotion back four. Goalkeepers come in, obviously, from abroad. Right wing, left wing, a new player. Central midfield, we're both playing in the Championship, Stevens and Kyle. Solly March is a youth product. And Glenn Murray. I mean, Glenn Murray, I honestly thought if he turned up on a Sunday morning and I was marking him, I wouldn't bat an eyelid because he just looks like that kind of player.
But he does the business, though, doesn't he? He does the business.
It's frightening how out of the fixture he was for 90 minutes. And you can't fault the defence in any way. I still don't think you can.
It was a bit of a potluck goal, wasn't it? Because the shot came out of nowhere, and Glenn Murray, as he is, right place, right time.
It was just quick thinking off their throwing right from the start. You could say, like, oh, it should have been a bit more on the toes, but it happened that quickly, and that ricochet from Bruno could have literally went anywhere.
Yeah, if he'd have caught that sweetly, we'd probably blocked it, or it's okay, maybe even their score, but what you can't account for is it landing straight at the feet of Glenn Murray.
Yeah.
You
know, people can say, you know, oh, how can you give Glenn Murray so much space in the box? There's no reason for those defenders to be stood right next to him in that position.
It's just a good finish.
Reaction. And it was a good finish, yeah. You have to say that.
So did Wolves do anything wrong on Saturday at all? Was it just unlucky that they did try and try, especially in that second half, and it just wasn't going to happen?
Just like a cutting edge again, wasn't it, in the final third? It'll come good at some point. Just
I think, again, we started the game probably a bit tentative.
Naturally. We grew into it in the first after a few minutes, I thought.
But I think we could have made more of the possession that we had in the first half. We played with the handbrake on a little bit, probably because we've just lost a game. They were probably a little bit apprehensive themselves, so they sat a bit deeper anyway, because they know what quality we got. But you don't see... You know, last season we'd open up games first 10-15 minutes and really hit teams. We you know, we're feeling our way into games a little bit this season, I think. So with that, you've obviously you're losing 45 minutes each week in a way where you've got chances to score. Yes, we did create chances, but they were there for the taking at any point during the 90 minutes. It didn't have to be second half when you throw the kitchen sink out. Just have a go. And we didn't do that.
No. But was there an element which you saw in the second half that Wolves have shown once again with this side that if you put everyone behind the ball, Wolves can't break them down? I don't know if that's just a thing with football in general, but I always find this is a historic thing with Wolves, that any time a team plays really deep, we just struggle to break down.
One thing that's sprung to my mind is Neves and Moutinho, as good as they are, in that sort of final third, they're not. We need like an Eriksen type midfielder, don't we? Who can unlock something. They're good at keeping the ball ticking over and keeping possession and getting it to your wing backs. But getting into that front three in their half,
because teams
are so resilient and organised. We've always struggled to break teams down and put players behind the ball, haven't we? It happened all last season.
That's a special kind of player that takes that kind of vision. I think there was one instance where Doherty came in off the flank and Neves nearly played it in behind the fullback, and it went straight through to the keeper. That was the only time you saw any kind of through ball.
There was that chance in the first half that Doc had, though.
But that was part of a typical... Doc comes in 1-2 with Jimenez. It wasn't necessarily anything threatening him behind. That was a really good move.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the kind of thing that you're referring to where you've got a little number 10 who's picking up the
space. The FA would be goal against Burton last season.
Yeah.
We haven't...
Slide rule pass,
We haven't got that striker or Neves and Martino that far into their box to create those sort of chances.
Yeah.
You saw what I mean? Like, you're talking about Doherty could have had a hat-trick on Saturday. You're talking about our right back being our most attacking threat throughout the game because your front three aren't potent enough.
But then at the same time, is that an issue? It doesn't really matter who's going and having the chances.
If you're talking about goals in the back net at the end of the day...
I think it's good that there are threats from all over the pitch, but... The threat has actually got to happen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The goals have actually got to go in. You know, it's all good about saying that we can get goals in different places, but still, Jota hasn't scored this season. He was our top scorer last season. Costa still hasn't scored. Obviously, Cav has scored, but the goals aren't being shared out as they have been before.
Therefore, it puts
the pressure on Jimenez. And then when he takes Jimenez on to put Cav on, the front three of them, sometimes you just look at it and go, I don't know if that's just going to work, really.
They
were expecting us to throw the kitchen sink at him in the last 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. So to have that front three, when you know you're going to be needing to get the ball in the box from wide areas, you wouldn't expect any of those three to win a header, wouldn't you?
Against
those centre-backs.
Yeah.
And initially, we were throwing in crosses for headers.
Oh, we put so many crosses into that box, but that's just... meat and drink for them.
And that's why I think Bonatini came on, because I just thought, this isn't working. We almost need Jimenez back on, so we'll just put Bonatini on mix it up a bit.
I don't think, even thinking back to last season, Nuno's ever really covered himself in glory with substitutions.
Mm.
He's got away, well, I say got away with it. Okay, it's worked for him. I think West Ham, the way we're bringing Traoré on a few times, he's made an impact. Cavalero coming on against Southampton. But he's not known for being able to really switch things in the middle of a game and change it so that we can get a result.
Yeah, like kind of spot something's not working and go, right, I'm going to change it.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, we've got good players on the bench, but whether Nuno's decision-making when it comes to bringing a certain player off and bringing a certain player on, is that great?
It did work, but the first few games of the season, he very much just had a set plan.
Yeah.
It was, this is the team, then this minute I'm going to bring Cav on, this minute I'm going to bring Traoré on, and then I might bring on Vinagre or Gibbs White as a cameo.
Yeah.
But it's like you say, there's no sense of... It's like we've talked about before, plan B. I know he's very set in his ways, and we're always going to play this style, whoever we play, that's good. But if it's not going for you, you've got to try and mix up a bit.
Whenever he has tried a formation change when it's been going wrong, it's never worked, has it?
No, I don't think it has. I think, we've only really got last season to think about as an example of that. You'd often go 3-5-2 maybe as well. We'd have two strikers with someone in behind them. And I don't think we ever really had any success trying that. I think Cardiff, you put Afobe in a wider position as well, and it felt a little bit clunky and strange. So that in that sense, you don't want him to change it, because the 3-4-3, it does work.
But if they've been drilled so much into one set routine, it's going to be difficult to then try and get them into a new routine.
And that's a problem that a lot of teams have, I think. Players thinking for themselves and on their feet to win a game. I don't think we've necessarily got that. Apart from a couple of players.
Wolves had 25 shots, 7 on target, compared to Brighton, 7 and 1 on target. Just as it all is.
So you can't fault us really for effort in.
No.
But it's that clinical edge again, isn't it?
It didn't, like, I think we talked before we were recording. For me, it didn't, until the last 5 minutes, it did not feel like we were going to score. It just felt like it was going to be one of those typical games where we were going to throw everything and it wasn't going to happen. I thought Bennett, again, very unlucky right at the end. All I can remember is the thwack noise for when he hit that. And then Neves' free kick, I thought it was unlucky. I thought it was really clever.
Well, that could have come off anyone.
Yeah.
And then,
but very clever from Brighton, because I think from what I remember...
Oh, you're on about the one where he headed it over?
Yeah, he was hidden behind the wall, and I think he ran across and just headed it over. And I thought he was really unlucky right at the end, when he could have curled into the net.
Yeah.
It was just one of those...
One deflection, like you were saying, the... Dunker who headed it off the free kick. On another day that goes in off a deflection. Like I said, when Neves had that volley outside the box, Jota lifts his leg up instead of getting a deflection on it.
Anybody could have touched
anyone.
That
it's just one of them games.
But it feels like we've got to work really hard to score a goal.
Mm.
And you just get that feeling of injustice when you see goals like Brighton scored on Saturday. It's really frustrating because you look at most of our goals this season, apart from, say, the Bolly goal against City, they're pretty well-worked goals, yeah. You know, we're carving teams open and stuff. But it just didn't happen for us. I'll reiterate, it's 180 minutes ago, we were flying. Everybody was singing everyone's praises. And it's this feeling that you've always got to be either flying high, amazing football, mm-hmm. really happy with everything, or you're concerned. There's no grey area at the moment for Wolves fans. Yeah. And the fact is, we're just doing all right. We're fine. It's just the two losses in a row don't make you feel like that.
I think the Premier League, though, it is the golden chalice that you don't want to get rid of. Once results start not going well, because you don't want to let go of this opportunity that Wolves have. Wolves could be, if obviously, you know, I doubt they won't get, you know, they'll get relegated, but if they stay up, there's a chance for them to evolve into the side that we think we all know that Frozen want them to be. But you've got to have that first season. I think fans get tetchy after a couple of games like that because A, they were winnable games, but B, they don't want to let lose what could be a golden opportunity.
But I don't think we're getting to that stage at all yet. If we start seeing bad performances, then we've got to be worried. But we've had.
Only really Watford.
Yeah.
That we haven't really competed in a game.
Yeah. Even Palace at times, I don't think we were great.
No.
But
I still think in the Palace game we was the team most likely to go on to win it.
Yeah.
But the Watford first era Watford, I felt we was just completely out of play. But every other game we've competed, like what you said, until we're actually doing bad performances regularly. The goal is still to stay up, isn't it? Mm. I think what everyone's a bit concerned about now is a couple of weeks ago we said how many points we're going to get for the next four games, and Stu said 12. I think Mez said something like 8. I said I'd be happy with a minimum of 6, but now we're looking, there's a chance we might not get any.
And then that's the thing, you're going to four. You know, it's annoying really that we've got Spurs and Arsenal next, because it's not a free hit. But at least with Watford and Brighton, you go, if we can pick something up there, in some ways it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things if nothing happens against Spurs and Arsenal. But if you have a four-game window with no points, mentality changes within the fans. It would be the first time this side under Nuno has had such a mountain to climb, in a sense, especially in the Premier League. And I think it's interesting that I was trying to think today of how many games before Watford have we been behind and then not gone on to get a result or win. The only one I could think of was Bristol City.
That was the only time last season we got a win from going behind. Yeah.
And then what helped there was obviously they had a man sent off as well. But it makes me that they haven't... This is a new test for them now. They've always been comfortable in taking the lead and controlling the game from there. They've never really been in a scenario where, like we've seen the last two games, where they've gone behind and they've not been able to then go get the result. And I think this will be the big test now, that they're going to have that mentality. So they don't have a mentality change that everything goes from rosy to, okay, what's happened in the last four games? They've got to find a way to, if they do go behind, to get the result.
Yeah. I think you're getting into an area, though, where that, you know, there's always this need to kind of come up with some kind of statistic to create a concern, a worry, you know. And it's always about, if we end this run having gone four games without a league win, everyone's fretting.
That's the fickleness we've been
drummed into us from age, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just a natural kind of football fan's reaction. You bunch everything together. In reality, if you looked at this in four games' time and we're on 15 points?
Yeah.
15 points from 14 games. We're say 12th, 13th in the league, which is probably the likely position we would be in if we did go on to lose the next two games, or even just get 2 points, whatever it is. It's still not a bad position.
You're just going
with the flow of the results, and as long as the players don't do that, as long as they're not sitting there, you know, looking at a group of fixtures and saying, oh, we could get 5 out of 12, get 9 out of 12, whatever it is, we shouldn't be concerned. I think they will approach the Spurs and the Arsenal games in exactly the same way that they've approached the last two. Mm. They'll go out, they've got the game plan. Just focus on this game. Just play that game.
At least you know with Tottenham and Arsenal, they ain't going to be set in a defensive manner.
No.
they're going to want to come. And I think we're always good when we play on the counter.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all looking forward to those games. Yeah, yeah. We are.
I just think if Wolves can take the lead in Spurs, which we'll talk about in a second, I think it'll just do the world of good, personally. So you don't want that thing of 10 minutes in, Spurs score, and you're like, right, okay, now we're going to try and take it at them once again.
It's a confidence thing, guys. Like I said, we struggle to come back from behind. That's how it's always been. You know, the Watford game reminded me of the Forest game from last season.
The
goals came that quick that we never even stood a chance getting back into it.
Yeah.
Any standout performance on Saturday? For me, I thought Bolly was superb. Probably one of the best performances I've seen from him.
Yeah. I think you just love it when you see a player so comfortable, even at the raised levels of that he's up against. He was just unbelievable. So ready to just do what's required, is the way you'd look at it. And he looks just as comfortable as he was last season.
Mm.
There could be an exodus of players at the summer. Going back to what you said with Patricio, he's another one that could be gone in the summer.
Potentially.
If a decent enough bid came in.
I mean, he's probably unfortunate that he's French and he's got the ridiculous amount of centre-halves that they've got in front of him, because he'd be walking into many international teams.
Anybody else at all on Saturday, or the underperformers, which I'm sure there'll be a couple of names?
Doherty was unbelievable again. Yep. He's amazing. Mm. He genuinely amazes me. He seems to bring his levels up every single season now.
Mm.
Going back 3 or 4 years when Iorfa was in the team, I think that the season after that, Doherty made that position his own, whether it was left back or right back, wherever it was. And he's gone on to just raise and raise and raise. And you can't ask for more than a player that learns.
No.
It's because he's given up fizzy drinks and sweets.
Well, there you go.
There's a great article. But then it makes me think, wouldn't you do that as a footballer?
It's different, isn't it? Because some people, football comes so naturally to them that they don't even think about thing, really. So if he was getting away with it, why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You want those kind of luxuries?
Just can't do it. I had a bag of Harry Bars at work for breakfast the other day.
What Harry Bars? What, Starmix? Classic?
Just the plain ones.
Yes.
It wasn't the Tang Fastix one.
Starmix. Just the plain
ones. The blue bag?
Yeah. But I didn't have the milk bottles. I don't like them.
Did you talk?
What?
I had everything but the milk bottles.
Oh, milk bottles, aren't they? They're not in Starmix.
Yeah.
No, I don't like
milk
them.
Hang on. Then
no, that's a red bag.
You talking about Coke?
Red bag.
Okay.
I didn't think it was Starmix.
Did you talk in the voices while you was eating it?
Yeah. You should be working now, Daniel. Fuck off.
They're too addictive, I think, Haribo. They're like Percy Pigs at M&S.
If
you give me a bag of Percy Pigs, I'll be gone in 10 minutes.
I've become obsessed with them. Have you seen the drumstick squashies?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
We had those at the when we did our end season.
I hadn't discovered them at that point. Oh, my God.
They're so addictive.
Do you know what you don't see anymore? Campinos.
The red and white...
Strawberry Campinos.
Boiled sweets, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're pretty good. Strawberries and cream, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You were like creme de la creme in year 10 if you had Campinos. All the girls are interested in talking if you had Campinos on you.
Right. Unfortunately, we'll talk about Brighton still. I thought it was good sweet chat, actually. Good sweet chat. Yeah. Underperformers. Jota, I'm going to throw out. Again, it just
Jota
didn't...
came off the bench. The first thing he done was ballooned across out under no pressure.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was frightening how bad that was.
He didn't see what the
just
race
ain't working.
He hit a shot on target.
He did well to help out. He
won a free kick for us.
Was it the shot where he kind of weaved through about three or four players? There wasn't the power on it, though, was there?
Yeah, he should have went across the goal. I think Matini, I was open goal, if he would have went across the goal. Just, this ain't working for him. It's like someone's just got a video doll on him or something.
It's like Space Jam, isn't it, really?
It's like...
It took the powers.
He's playing against a different level of player as well now.
The analogy I'd use is he's almost trying to... If you got a batsman in cricket... They always say hit your way out of a bad run of form, so you just start swinging.
Mm.
He's maybe just trying to whack as many shots off as he can, and hopefully one of them goes in for him, but it really isn't falling for him at the moment.
I think in that report the other day about who Wolves want to buy, they talked about a central midfielder. Midfielder. I wonder whether we're missing an Undoy type of character.
I said that in the Watford game.
You see what I mean? Someone you can bring on who's a bit more of a battering ram, especially in those corners.
Moutinho and Neves was bullied against Decore and Capoue.
I think in the second half they did set the tempo and they tried to get something and try and get things stuff started, but you needed some kind of.
But by
force.
That at that point, Watford had done their job.
Yeah, it was just game management.
I mean, against Brighton, I mean, they just you know.
And Joy would have been a powerhouse in that game as well. Physically, he's more imposing.
With the amount of corners we had, you just need somebody like that in the box. Because there was at times I just thought, especially late in the game, we weren't really committing many people forward. But I know they had that breakaway right at the end, which they could have just sealed the game. But
we did miss someone breaking from midfield. I don't see what when Brighton are penned in, why you need two players sitting deep in midfield to move the play from wing to wing. Mm. You can afford to have one, even if it is Neves and Moutinho that are still playing on the pitch. One of them can still go and join, hit the box.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason for that to happen.
How's Ndoye doing at Villarreal? Do you think he wants out?
He's gone out on loan to Malaga.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Come back to Wolves. Yeah. Come on.
Don't quote me on that. But I think he has, yeah.
Dan, anyone else for you who perhaps didn't play as well? Could have stepped up their game in the old gold and black?
No.
It's tough to criticise Jimenez.
There wasn't just saying Jimenez.
He nearly scored a crack at that overhead.
Overhead, yeah.
Oh yeah,
because I thought that was going in. I think everyone just watched it roll.
Effort. So I don't think he had a bad game. It's going back again, he didn't really have the service, did he?
But I think if he'd have stayed on the pitch, he would have been in some decent positions to score. He was the penalty box player we needed. The only other one I'd say is Traore.
I was just about to mention him. I mean, I can understand why they probably started him to try something different. And he did okay for the first kind of 20 minutes, but it just never worked for him after that.
He never worked Bruno enough for me. But I said to Dave before we started recording...
we got Bruno with us today.
Bruno.
Come on.
Look in the mirror, Dan.
There's definitely a likeness.
There is.
With your beard. To be honest, I'm
just thick. I was thinking like Bruno from, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen's.
the one with the really short shorts and all
that. Yeah, I've only got a green jumper on. What you want to wear?
I remember seeing that in the cinema with some mates. I remember like 20 minutes in, people just started walking out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
It was that bad.
I haven't watched it. I don't really want to bring myself to do it, to be honest.
I think you should
not
watch
my
it.
My kind of film, and I won't go any further.
Would you choose that one or the Serbian film in the group chat the other day? Did you see the chat about that?
I can't keep track of all the films people talk about, to be honest.
Has the Serbian film got subtitles?
I don't know, I think it was Rich. Wasn't Rich and Adam who were talking
about it?
But
it's a horror film, isn't it? Or something,
With a great...
There's no Stew on the Havertum, wasn't he? Was it Stew watching it on the
I think he said he was going to watch it. There's an interesting way about how one guy kills another one, isn't there?
I don't know.
No.
Have you seen Bonehead Tomahawk?
Is it featuring Nenad Milias at any point? Because then I might watch it.
Nice little cameo.
And he'll fucking murder you as well.
Have you seen Bonehead Tomahawk with Kurt Russell?
No.
That's got the best kill scene I've ever seen in my life. They've got like these aborigines who are like cannibals. Right. They turn this like bloke upside down, they pull his legs to the side, and they hammer through his arse, and then like split his body up into one. You can just have a look on YouTube. Have a look. What are you having your tea
tomorrow?
I'm gonna
have to wrestle this back.
Wait.
Wrestling reference just for you there, Dave.
What the hell were we talking about? We're talking about
Bruno
and
Traore. God.
There was times during that game, Moutinho and Neves refused to pass to Traore. They were literally avoiding passing to him.
I think my biggest issue with Traore is he wants the ball to feet every time. And for someone that quick... He doesn't need the ball to make an impact.
Except the Dave earlier, he hasn't got the initiative to read that never sprayed pass over a fullback.
Traore is still the player that you have on the second half when you want a counter and you say, go run and put the pressure on, go get that ball.
What Nuno's brought him in for, he's not brought him in to be a Nuno player and really immerse himself in the system like most people should do with the way we play. He wants us, because he knew Brighton were going to be deep pack defence. You need someone who's going to just open the play up a little bit, take on two or three players and get us going.
And he's got the speed, which is essential in the Premier League.
Yeah, but you just want to shake him sometimes. Yeah. Grab him, shake him, just be like, just take him all on, will you? Honestly, it's really frustrating.
He's old El Beckham, a footballer, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just flashy and fast.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I know Odell Beckham. Yeah.
All in all, then, we brought in, gentlemen. It's a defeat, but I think let's chalk it down to it. It's what football does to you.
The AI was against us.
It is. And we're on Sky this week. We're up against a better team in theory. We're going to be back at it.
And we're going to talk about Spurs in a sec because Mr. Mike Dean's there. Oh, Mr. Martinez. Right, we're going to talk about some more about Spurs, do our usual quiz and Twitter corner after this. Welcome back to the podcast. We're going to talk about Spurs and that in a second. It's time for the ad, gentlemen. We didn't do it earlier on in the show, so better do it now. And this is our good friends Pixel Yeti Media. If you're looking for a web design or your business needs a new logo or a bit of marketing, go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They're not just web designers. They're a creative agency that cover all your design needs from websites, brochures, signage to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. I got this in the post this week. Nice little for my notes.
I was going to say it's.
It's got the logo on there. I've got this
good podcast material. Yeah, saying it is. I got this.
So all the notes I need to do for future wrestling references, I can put them in there.
Okay.
So cheers, Matt,
and keep it well behind you, like. Yeah.
So cheers for that. So go check them out, pixelyetimedia.com. Do you want to do what we learned in the WhatsApp group this week?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I already know, but I'd like the general public to know also.
What are we referring to?
Well, we were talking about roller coasters in the chat.
Okay.
And I let go that I've never been on a roller coaster.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Yeah. I've never been on one, and I can't be bothered to ever go on one.
You've been to theme parks, though.
I've been to a theme park once.
Did you not go?
In my life. I think even as a kid, I just looked at it and I thought, I just can't bother. Not out of kind of, I'm scared or anything like that. I just can't. I just don't see the point. Queue it for what, a couple of hours for a 2-minute ride.
For a bit of high blood pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like people socialise, doesn't it, really?
God. Well, you just, you know, have a hit of salt or something instead, yeah.
But I
understand where you're coming from.
I just don't see the point.
The high octane roller coasters don't really appeal to me. I always just like going on like Stormforce 10 at Dryer Manor and the log flume and stuff like that and the pirate shit.
You prefer getting wet to going on a roller coaster?
It's only 8:30. curfew language that is.
But you know, if there's a zoo there, I'll go to the zoo. Honestly, I can't be bothered with roller
coasters. Prefer a bit of heavy petting, though.
Yeah, exactly. A bit of that.
Getting wet and heavy petting.
This has taken a turn for the worse.
I think Shockwave and the Maelstrom is the
most... Nah, keep me away from Maelstrom, I've got to be honest.
That's the two, like, wildest roller coasters I've been on, because I ain't really keen on them. I'm vertically challenged. I don't want to do heights.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like to know what it's like up there?
Not really, no.
Somebody was telling about a roller coaster. I think it's in this country where it's basically you go into some kind of building and it's pitch black, and the whole most of this roller coaster is in pitch black. And also, there's one point where you go, you think you're going one way, then you go reverse. And I'm just sitting there going, "I'm not having that. I'm not doing that.
I'm just messing you around."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just tell me the direction I'm going in. Show me where I'm going. Thank you very much.
This guy's no fun.
No. Don't take me to a theme park.
We're going to cheer him up.
Get a GoPro, put me on a roller coaster, and I can vlog my experience.
I think you need a theme park in your life right now.
Yeah.
Log your experience.
Vlog.
Oh.
Oh. Go. Yeah. Everyone has to document what they do these days.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
What else did we learn in the WhatsApp group this week?
I think that was it, really, wasn't it? Wasn't that the big thing?
That's a bombshell.
Massive bombshell.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I do need to mention on last week's show where you dropped your frozen mash bombshell.
I had frozen mash again tonight, by the way.
Good. I picked up my ticket for Brighton from Chris, from Mez.
Right.
And the first thing he said to me was, "What the hell? Who's having frozen mash?"
He said that in the WhatsApp group as well. Yeah, he did mention that.
He's not having the frozen mash.
Honestly.
I wish he was here, to be honest, so we could have the counter-argument, but...
Yeah. Had salmon, frozen mash, not still frozen. We had cooked the mash.
Yeah.
And a bit of parsley sauce and some veg. Oh, beautiful.
I've got no issue with it. I like, you know.
It's what made me late today.
How dare you?
I don't know. It was worth it.
Curse that frozen mash.
It was worth it.
Anyway, that's what we learned in the WhatsApp group. We did get an email 2 weeks ago from a listener saying they wanted to be in the WhatsApp group.
Okay.
So we need to decide whether we allow listeners into the group.
Like a watching brief. They're not allowed to speak. They can't comment on anything.
A viewing platform of the conversations.
Nothing really happens in the WhatsApp group, to be honest. It's just me moaning.
Yeah.
About life.
You quickly work out who's busy at work and who isn't, I think.
I'm always busy at work. Always busy at work.
Right, let's talk about the game at the weekend and Wolves' take on Spurs, hoping to get back on track. Spurs won in the week 3-1 in the Carabao Cup away. Can Wolves bounce back against top six sides? As we've already seen this season, gentlemen, with Man United and Manchester City. Before we do, let's do the preview with Gully. Gully, what factoids do you have for us on
Welcome to the preview, guys. Welcome back.
We need a jingle, don't we?
We do. We do. Can you sort that out for me, please? Oh.
There's the jingle.
Dave tickling the ivory.
Gully's preview of the week.
Yeah, okay, so Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspur. Fifth in the league currently. Actually, their best start to a Premier League season ever, as we've heard. But you wouldn't believe it.
No.
You would not believe it. They, I think Mauricio Pochettino was quoted as saying it's the worst he's felt since he's been at the club in the last 5 years, which I think if you look at their record, they've won 7 and lost 3, no draws at all. So whether that is just a symptom of having lost quite a few games, given the period in the season that we're in, is one thing, you know. Narrow defeats.
Factor in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, and Champions League has not gone well for them so far, which places our game quite interestingly, given that they're playing PSV next week, and it's basically a must-win game for them. Otherwise, you know, they're out. So that could be seen as an advantage for us. They've had some interesting results. 3-1 last night, they beat West Ham. Did anybody watch the Man City game against Tottenham?
No, I just saw the pitch and I thought, why are they playing on that?
Well, I know why. Yeah, we know exactly why they're playing on it. But people are suggesting it's some kind of farce because Tottenham should have priority. But that NFL game has been scheduled for a long time, as far as I'm aware. And they definitely should not have been playing that game at Wembley, as they stated. So, you know, they're making their bed and they're sleeping.
It's just bollocks, Gully. If they weren't a London club, they would have been deducted points now.
Probably, yeah, you're right. And, you know, I guess that conversation's for another day, then. We'll see what it happens.
It's bollocks, Gully.
Sorry.
Carry on with your preview.
I have no further opinion on that debate. Anybody going to Wembley?
I'm still undecided.
When we play there.
I'm not of this faction where people like, I get it, but I still want to see Wolves at Wembley, and I don't really mind if it's not in the cup.
I would only want to go if we are 50% of that stadium.
I get it. I don't want to miss it. I'm
the same. I want to see Wolves in a cup final there. Yeah. Or some like.
I mean, I've been to Wembley, and it's not amazing. Nothing to shout home about.
But there's not a guarantee that Wolves make Wembley in a cup competition. You know, it's probably likely it's going to happen, but there's not a guarantee. So I'm. Want
to
go?
Well, not given that we seem to play our second string every time we play. Anyway, so
I'm going to go to say I've seen Wolves at Wembley. So that's my personal view. But anyway,
they're a good team. I really like Spurs. I think a lot of people around the country appreciate Spurs for the way they've gone about their business. Obviously, I think the facts came out this week: 29 million net spend since Pochettino's been in charge. It's ridiculous how well he's done, frankly, compared to the amount of money that's spent elsewhere in the top six. So he's an exceptional manager, but I think you're starting to see some of the strains associated with that lack of investment. Obviously, there's no players brought in over the summer. They had a lot of players away with England as well, so really late coming to the party in terms of pre-season. And I just think when you're not able to freshen that side up, you've got the same messages going throughout to the same players relied upon all the time. Eventually, there's going to be signs of wear and tear. You see it with Harry Kane, especially right now. He looks a bit of a busted flush at times. Still an unbelievable finisher, but the kind of intensity of his game, which they really need to be pressing high. You can see why Pochettino really rotates his teams. He rotated again this week. Didn't start Ali or Eriksen against Man City. Played him against West Ham in the cup. You know, they need that intensity in their play to function properly. And some of the performances, even in victories this season, haven't been quite what they need to be.
He's just on a new deal, isn't he, Ali?
Yeah, 6 years this week. Yep. I don't think even he's hitting the heights that he has in the previous years. So yeah,
it's just asset management now, that contract, isn't it?
It is, but with the form that he's in at the moment, who would you suggest goes in and buys him as a bigger club? I don't see him as a Real Madrid kind of level player right now. He isn't doing enough over 90 minutes for me to be at that level. He's a good. He gets on the end of things and scores goals and things, but
United.
Yeah.
I could see him playing for United
potentially. But are they in a position where they're stronger than Tottenham right now?
They're probably not.
But
I think it's going back to what you said in the investment there. When you see like paper headlines that Luke Shaw's on double that Christian Eriksen on, it just shows where Tottenham are going wrong, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And they can't keep hold of players if they're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And Christian Eriksen is one player who probably is of that next level of club. I think. He could probably get into a much better team than Tottenham at the moment. I still think they've got the best player I've ever seen play live in Moussa Dembélé. I'll always remember this.
From the man who loves Messi. Have you seen Messi live yet?
I have seen Messi live. Okay, best player.
So you've said it now. Yeah. You've said it now.
Best player I've ever seen play live. Put it in the chat.
I've seen Cristiano Ronaldo play. No one's better than him in real life.
Against Wolves. Against Wolves, I'll say. For Fulham? For Fulham, when we beat them, I think it was 1-0 or 2-0. The season we got relegated.
We were
top of the league at that point. We won that game. We went top of the league.
We all thought, that's it. Here we go. We're going to be established.
Fulham were a soft touch at that time. They were quite an easy team to play against, especially at home.
For a guy of his physique, he glides plus players sometimes, doesn't
unbelievable. You could not get anywhere near him. It's just a shame the players that he had around him were just of no quality whatsoever.
Moment on Pochettino. Exit chat, of course, linked to Real Madrid. Do you think he's a man on the out of the new Spurs stadium at some point? Or maybe not the new Spurs stadium.
I think he's hanging his hat on that stadium a bit, though, isn't he? Mm. He's waiting for that to happen, for him to really grow into the role a bit more. Whether he can spend some more money once the stadium arrives and things.
I don't know how it's going to work, though, because they've had to lend another $230 million, I read the other day.
So they might be in financial jeopardy as a result of that. I think he sees himself trying to finish a job there, and he's kind of... It's like the whole Lopetegui situation. Mm. Lopetegui obviously left Spain thinking he might never get that opportunity to manage Real Madrid. If Pochettino passes this up, will he still get the call, you know, later on in his career?
It doesn't matter who you are, footballer, manager, when Real Madrid or Barcelona come calling, it's hard to say no, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
And he's kind of the hot choice at the minute. And if he has if he says no to Real Madrid now, and a couple of years' time, he's still at Spurs and hasn't really done anything. Well, like you say, will Real Madrid call again? Will they go, oh, you're not really playing for the month?
Despite what he's done at Spurs, and he's done a really good job, they're still seen as that club that you can get people from. Whether it's a player, whether it's a manager, they're still not at that level. And he's done so much to get them to the Champions League kind of level.
And that's why they need to win a trophy of some kind of level, just to cement something of all that work they've done. And on the stadium, just...
Shambles.
We could be what, the last team they play at Wembley, potentially.
I think so. Yeah.
But I mean, from what you see, it could be a fantastic stadium.
It will be. I'm sure it will be. But
it's got this retractable pitch thing where they've got two pitches, one for the NFL and one for this games, which would be fantastic.
And that's Daniel Levy and his business mind, I guess, isn't it? But
the game on Saturday, gentlemen. What would you make any changes from that lineup that started against Brighton? Would you just go back to the trial and testing method, or would you start mixing up that front three again?
Cavin for Traore this week instead of Traore. Yeah, Cavin for Traore instead of Jota. That's what my only change I'd probably make.
I think Jota has had his best games against the bigger sides this season. He played pretty well against Man City. He played really well against Man United. Mm. I just think he fits that role pretty well. You can trust him to make sure he does his job going backwards.
Mm.
And he's still a threat. I still think with space in front of him, he's a good player to have. And we're not gonna have shed loads of chances for him to miss, I don't think, this weekend. But you can just rely on him to make sure that he does his job.
Mm.
I've just become a bit... What's the word? Not disappointed, but...
Disheartened?
Disheartened with Jota recently. That I don't think he deserves to come back in the starting lineup. Yeah, Cav should have started on Saturday, it would have been a slap in the face of Traore being the record signing for him not to start.
But Traore could legitimately argue that you can't drop me now either because you've only given me one start. Etc. has had so many chances and still not scored a goal. At least Traore can say he's won us a game.
Well, maybe he drops Costa and drops Costa for Cav.
Potentially. There's no reason why not. And I think Traore would be better on the right hand side.
I hope
not.
I've got Costa and Jota in my dream team. But
I just wouldn't feel comfortable seeing Costa and Jota coming off the bench. I just don't think they would have the impact.
Probably not. But
so, unless Wolves were like, 2-0 up and coasting, and you thought, okay, we'll mix up a bit.
But at the same time, they're not bad options, are they?
No, not. I just think in current form, if they were blistering it, I would think, yeah, that's fine. Like we had with Kevin Traore, but
your mindset is pretty much pace on as players' legs are starting to get weary, isn't it?
Pace, yeah.
Whereas Costa, I mean, like he's got so acceleration, Costa, but he's got no pace, has he?
No. He didn't seem to run away from people at the moment, no.
Not so much for Costa, I get that. But I don't know, with Jota, when he came on Saturday, he needs a goal, like they all say. He needs that goal for that confidence.
But the chances aren't falling to him like they fell to him last season. He's scoring tap-ins for a lot of last season. Pretty simple goals, but
he just seems to be struggling when he's taking people on. Almost like he doesn't know that clear-cut decision-making he had last season isn't as clear-cut.
It's not instinctive anymore. No. It's really thought about and pondered. Ponderous.
I mean, the goal he scored against Millwall at home last season, you wouldn't expect him to even attempt that this season.
No.
Because he's that devoid of confidence.
He seems to want to try to take a man on every single time he has the ball. Whereas, he could just do with lever in it.
Yeah. Should we do predictions for the weekend, gentlemen, against Spurs? And try and get to the game early as well, because there will be some Remembrance Day stuff the club are doing. So I think
and the light show.
And the light show, of course, yeah. Got to go for the light show.
Are people going to make it if it's Saturday night?
Oh, it's got a recipe for disaster, 10 centre as Saturday.
Honestly, at home, we were saying, do we want to go for a drink beforehand, afterwards? I thought, afterwards, I don't think anybody's going to be left standing in town.
I mean, I was worse for wear that Everton game on the R5, never mind, quarter to eight. It's quarter to eight kickoff.
Yeah,
it's got a recipe for disaster. I don't know how many trains after the game to like London there is, but if Tottenham stay in the night, it's going to kick off, I think.
We'll see. Could be fun, though. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it could be a really good atmosphere. It should be, anyway.
It should be rocking, really. Yeah. Night game on a Saturday.
On telly. And we're always better on telly.
Yeah.
We are.
I'd love a Sheffield United performance Saturday night.
Neves bending
one.
Let's do predictions then, gentlemen. Wolves versus Spurs. How are you feeling on this Thursday night? A bit late for us in the week. Not that far away now for Wolves versus Spurs on the TV. Gully, what's your heart?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to go for I think we'll win 1-0.
A 1-0 win. Mm. Okay.
Because I don't like doing predictions. And I hate predicting Wolves to win. What I've started doing for my Sky Super 6 now is when Wolves on the 3 o'clock, I just predict to draw 3-3 every week. So I'm going with 3-3.
3-3.
An absolute Saturday night blockbuster of a game for the neutral.
You expect us to concede 3 goals?
Yeah, got Gary Kane out there. Maybe 2 penalties and a deflection.
Oh, God, that's the way he does it these days, isn't it?
1-1. 1-1.
Sensible,
yeah. The good option.
They're a good footballing team. Might play into our hands. We might get tanked.
I think they're going to play into our hands.
I just think if we can get any kind of positive result, I think any kind of murmurs of the doubts at the minute will go away and we'll all be back on Happy Street, won't we?
Yeah.
We're going to be back in Europe. That's what we're saying.
Like, we are bipolar as football fans. Wolves above Parliament.
All right, we're going to do the quiz quickly. And now what usually happens is Dan sends a quiz to me. I'll obviously have a read through it. And then it'll be whoever else is on the podcast to do the quiz. But Dan stepped in last minute for Ben. I've already seen the quiz. So it's up to Gully to do it on his own. So we're going to see how Gully gets on. So this is what I want to do, Dan. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 questions. How many out of 7 is Gully going to get right? It's going to be me, you, in a side bet. How many out of 7?
I can't even remember the questions now. I'll go with 4.
4. I'll say 5. All right, come on, Gully. Get
you
5.
Fancy me?
Yeah, I'm fancier this week. Oh, yeah, okay, not fancy this way, week. Yeah.
All right. Heavy petting getting wet. Fancy him, bloody hell.
Right, here we go. First question. Who captained and scored for Wolves in the UEFA Cup final, first leg against Tottenham?
It was 1972, was it, I believe.
Was it Dan?
Yeah, I wasn't even bored. I think my parents was even dating then.
I'm going to go with Mike Bailey.
No, it was. Who was it?
Jim McCalliog.
I got him to say that because I wouldn't have been able to pronounce the surname. Okay. Wolves did the double over Spurs in the 09-10 season thanks to 2-1-0 wins. But what former Wolves player played for Spurs in both games? Little misdirect there from Dan. Classic misdirect.
Former.
So what former Wolves player played for Spurs in both games in those 1-0 09-10
games? So he was
games?
A former player at the time he was at Spurs?
Do I get technical?
Hey, no, that's a legitimate question, surely.
I think it is a legitimate question, Dan. Do you want to give him that?
Well,
he became a Wolves player afterwards.
Maybe.
Okay.
He did. I'll let you have that one. I want him to get more.
Oh, yeah, because you've got five instead of four. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Okay. Played in both games.
Or did he?
Well, it does say he played for both Spurs in both games. Yeah. So.
No, I was talking about former.
Oh, right.
09-10.
09-10, yep. What are we going for? I have to hurry you.
Jamie O'Hara is the only one I could think of.
No, Bissong.
Oh, flipping hell. Oh, let's not remember that era. Seriously.
Right, the last time Wolves played Spurs, we drew 1-1 after going in front with a Stephen Heads Gone Fletcher goal. But who did Fletcher score against on his debut for Wolves?
Stoke.
Straight away, yeah.
Straight away. Stoke. No questions asked.
Went off injured, obviously.
So, off the mark with your one. In February 2010, Wolves beat Spurs at home 1-0 thanks to a Dave Jones goal. But how many consecutive passes by Wolves were carried out before he scored?
Oh, I still remember this guy. It was unbelievable. I think 17, was it?
Oh, it was 18.
No. Oh, my God. That was one of my favourite goals of all
probably
time.
Probably forgot Wolves a Majanji Boya pass in there. No, that didn't play.
He didn't play. Gudjura played.
Gudjura played, yeah. Good on Majanji Boya. Wolves and Tottenham legend Dean Richards was signed by what former Wolves manager and when leaving Wolves? Yeah.
Signed by what former Wolves manager when leaving Wolves? That's it.
Dave Jones.
Oh, did he?
He went to Southampton from Wolves.
Yeah, so Glenn Hoddle was Southampton manager?
No, Dave Jones was at the time.
Was he?
Yeah.
You're disappointing me, Gully. Come on.
I wonder if... Did he play under Hoddle at Tottenham?
He played under Hoddle at Southampton and Spurs because I think he then went to Spurs. Because you weren't at Saints for a long time because Spurs came calling.
At the end of the day, the answer was Dave Jones. And I'm going to get four, like I said.
Here we go. Robbie Keane is a relative of what singer? Robbie Keane is a relative of what singer? I did not know this. I've just seen this.
Oh, it's the Westlife guy, isn't it?
I've just seen this.
It's the Westlife guy?
I'd love to see the reaction of that singer being compared to the Westlife guy.
Don't give it away.
I'd be really surprised if you knew it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Is
it Ronan Keating then, if it's not Westlife?
No, it's Morrissey.
Yeah. Robbie's
grandfather is a cousin to Morrissey's father.
But I had no idea that was. I assumed it was going to be one of the Irish.
Where did you find that? Did you know that, or did you find that out?
Yeah, I knew that, yeah.
Good old Wikipedia. Final question. At least get two here. Okay. Come on. How many league clubs has Robbie Keane played for to date? He's not playing anymore. Is he still playing? In India?
He hasn't officially retired, according to his Wikipedia. He was player-manager of his last team.
He's a free agent then.
Let's go through this. Okay. Wolves, Coventry,
yep.
Inter Milan, Leeds, Spurs, Liverpool, back to Spurs.
I've counted like Spurs as one team.
Yeah. West Ham. Celtic, LA Galaxy, Aston Villa came back on loan, didn't he?
There's no bonus points for this, by the way. Actually, I will give you a bonus point if you get...
Aston Villa, and then you play for a team in India, so I'm going to go with 11.
It is 11. Well done. I'll give you the bonus points. So 3.
There you go.
I think you said 4, didn't you?
Yeah, I'll win.
Yeah.
Finally won a quiz. Yeah.
Well done.
I let myself down there.
You did.
Apologies, boys. Apologies all.
Yeah. What will you do better next time, Gully? I'm just thinking of post-quiz press conference.
I will read up on the subject, I think. You know, just do a bit of prep.
Got to go back to basics.
We know what it's going to be, obviously, the opposition related. So, yeah.
Anyway, should we finish it all off with Twitter Corner, gentlemen?
Yeah.
The best bit of the show.
See what they've got to say this week.
It's your chance to ask us questions at WWFC Fancast on Twitter.
We haven't spoken about burgers, by the way.
No, but we are going to speak out burgers. Okay. And you can also email us podcast@wolvesfancast.com. Yeah, because Stu listened to the 77 Club podcast this week, and apparently they got a question about what's your favourite burger, which apparently They refuse to answer because it's a fan casting to answer, apparently. It's a fan casting
to do. We've got to live up to that reputation.
I think we've got to not only justify that person who sent that question in hoping to get an answer and didn't, but we now need to go into detail about said subject.
Well, he can come to us with those questions.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not too lowbrow for us, is it, really, talking about burgers?
I don't think anything is right now. We've gone from roller coasters.
Before we get into that, I think other people have sent in their burger-related questions, so we'll answer those. But, gentlemen, preference of burger at all? If someone say, I'm going to make you a burger, what would you go for?
I don't think you can beat a standard Burger Van burger, really. Mm. Yeah, you know, you go to these restaurants and all this fancy stuff going on. You get your chips next to it in a little basket and all that sort of stuff.
I had the thing where they stick something right through the burger. Yeah, and you're like, just don't bother. That's going out.
Outside Molyneux, Mr. Sizzle.
Yep.
Job done.
Night out at Blast Off back in the day.
Fried onions. Oh, this is the best thing. Yeah.
Dan, any burger choice with fillings on top of
standard,
the burger?
I'm pretty pathetic when it comes to food.
You're a classic man.
I'm a vintage man. I like what I like. And
isn't it ketchup with everything?
Ketchup with everything.
Yeah.
Just standard double cheeseburger from McDonald's. That's what I've been having recently. Large nugget meal, double cheeseburger. Cadbury's Dairy Milk
with
flurry.
It just frustrates me how small they keep going.
Yeah, that's just how they make money, isn't it?
I can't think you can't beat the big tasty burger, double cheeseburger, double bacon cheeseburger. Ooh. Can't beat it.
The big tasty McDonald's is really nice, but it's just hard to take waiting to happen.
These, if I go to like a restaurant and you see the burgers, I always get enticed by these fancy ones, and you get it, and you're like, oh, like the ones where it's like, oh, pour pork on it. It's like, oh, that'd be quite nice. And you get it, and you're like, oh, how do
the
I eat this?
The idea is better than the actual
how do I eat
reality.
This? It's just going everywhere. It's, I went to Rub's Smokehouse a few weeks ago for work.
Okay.
So I had the Beat the Meat Burger, which was a two double cheeseburgers, and wedged inside were two pulled pork tacos.
That doesn't sound like it would work. Did it work?
No, I had to eat the taco separate. Yeah, because you've got it. And then I got through half the burger and I thought, nah, I can't do this.
Nah, trying too hard. Just trying too hard.
Yeah.
Patrick was a good winger as well.
Hmm?
Burger?
Oh, yeah. We've got more bug questions in a second, but firstly, James Lewis says, now it's getting colder. What's the best half-time hot beverage? Bovril, hot chocolate, tea, coffee, other. I've added other in there.
Bovril. It's got to be a Bovril. Has to be. Because you're not getting, you know, any sweetness or milk to cool it down or anything. You can drink it as hot as you like. It's the best thing.
You see, I'm a sad man. I'll have your hot chocolate any day.
I don't drink hot drinks at any time of the day.
You like Ben, aren't you? Ben doesn't have hot drinks at all, does he?
I'll have a hot chocolate for meal. That's it.
Horlicks.
Tea and coffee just don't appeal to me whatsoever.
Oh, God.
I just don't get you as people. I think you're just backwards.
Love the smell of coffee, can't stand the taste.
Having to like need a caffeine boost when you wake up in the morning just blows my mind.
What do you do to wake yourself up?
I drink H2O, keep myself replenished and hydrated that way.
You sound like an NHS advert.
Yeah. He is, I think.
I've got a pamphlet in the car.
James Spencer asks, does anyone know the correct time to start drinking on Saturday?
It depends who you're asking, I think.
Friday night, about 5 p.m.
Depends what kind of, how many jobs you got to do on Saturday morning.
Our very own Alex Moore says, what do you want to see Wolves achieve in your lifetime? He's suggested just seeing Wolves in Europe.
I think that's a standard one for most people, isn't it? Going away to watch a Wolves.
Yeah. I think that an FA Cup final, really.
Or winning an FA Cup.
Yeah.
I made a deal with the devil a couple of years ago.
How's he doing?
The devil?
Yes.
He's a bit down at the moment. A bit red in the face. But I said,
You're not doing so well, are you?
I didn't care what happened. I didn't care if Wolves went out of business. I just wanted some rich owners to come in and get us into Europe. All I wanted to see was Wolves playing Europe. Just even if it's flipping Helsinki away on a Thursday night. I just want to see Wolves in Europe.
Let's do it.
And then after that, I'll just go and watch AFC Wolves or someone else. I just want to see Wolves in Europe.
You've got Helsinki, you've got to get into Europe as well. You know?
Ideally, it would be like Ibar or Elche, and we could go to like Benidorm for the week.
They are the local clubs.
That would be like heaven sent.
Yeah.
Benjamin Middleton says, been meaning to ask you for a while, the new intro song, purposely similar to In Betweens because you're all virgins. It does have that hint to it, I think.
Does it?
I think it does.
I prefer it to the original intro. I have to say that. Okay. Yeah, so good on you there, Dave.
If you want to, Well, if you want to download it, Gully, you want to have it on your personal Zune, then you can go get it at Black Bear Kiss.
I'd object to the term virgin, unfortunately, so I'm okay.
Good. Well, if you want to download it, Black Bear Kiss Hooks is the name of the song. Go download it. It's a really good song.
Okay.
It's good, yeah.
How long's the intro?
What, to the actual song?
To the fan cast.
It's about 30 seconds. You're just going to put that on loop.
That is
Go download it. It is a really good song. Go check
it
out.
We ain't virgins. I'm really getting my back up. That's really getting my back up, that is.
I think I counted the day where the virgins with seven immaculate conceptions. Back on Burger Chat, Scott Bagley says, Byron Hamburgers is the king of the upmarket burger chain. No discussion. I don't think I've heard of those.
I've had one in London and they're pretty good. Yeah, I have to say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you had Smash Burger?
Yes, recently.
Yeah, that's really, I thought it was all right.
Another one. Cause they
Wimpy.
I can't beat Wimpy.
God knows how long.
Can't beat Wimpy.
I had a Smash Burger. I think I got one at Junction 9, Wensbury.
Yes, that's where I went to.
But,
yeah.
But you know, you go overboard with your toppings and stuff. That's a tendency to do, and that's what I ended up doing. But it was all right. Yeah. Five Guys for me. Five Guys.
You're just spoiling yourself. It's way too expensive for such basic food.
Yeah, but I think that's what a lot of these places are like.
It's just a treat.
It's just a novelty themed restaurant. If they gave you that food in like a, I don't know, table restaurant, you'd go, I've paid £400 for this.
Oh, but you can tell the difference, surely.
I think we need an experiment. Let's buy the burgers and blind test
and
them.
Line them up.
Byron Burger and Five Guys, and everyone wants to send in.
But what we'll also do is make a cup of tea for Gully with a chocolate bar.
Oh, God. Imagine.
And you can dip it in.
I had my chance last week. I said no. Yeah, it's not
cup of tea with a burger. You'd make me sick.
Le Boss Wolf says, Big Mac or Zynga Tower. Please feel free to discuss burger construction quality, deep of flavour, along with off-the-menu upgrade options as well. Let's just start with a simple Big Mac or Zynga Tower.
I think I prefer a Zynga.
I don't think I've ever had a Zynga Tower burger.
I'd prefer go for the Zynga Tower. I've never been a fan of the Big Mac.
I don't think I've ever had a burger from KFC in my life.
KFC to have a burger?
You don't get to a strip club for the music, do you?
Is that what the equivalent is?
Yeah, honestly.
You get to KFC. Yeah,
you still get chicken in the burger, you know.
So that's another thing. KFC, why would you go there for breakfast? When I stopped the services on the way to Brighton, they were serving breakfast and they put chicken in like their burger breakfast version. Like, who's having that?
Egg and bacon?
Yeah.
People off to the gym.
That is weird. No, that ain't
I'm
right.
I'm not having that.
No.
Craig says, actually, I need to preempt this with, is anybody watching Making a Murderer? Sorry. I'm not really watching any of it.
I've watched the first couple of episodes of the first series and I've got around to finishing it.
Sorry, Craig, I'm going to skip your question. Steve Morgan, Hip Flask question, Jack Daniels, Jameson's, Martell, Southern Comfort, and or any other?
I'm a Southern Comfort or Hay Club kind of guy.
You're a SoCo man, are you?
Hip Flask.
Yeah.
Or Jameson or a Hay Club, I think, yeah.
Good old Hay Club. It's very fancy, the Hay
Club. Hay's nicer. Yeah. It's very drinkable.
If David Beckham approves, then we're all good for it, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So, good. Matthew Scriven says, will any of you be crossing party lines and attending the Wolves Party 100th episode live spectacular, just like when DX showed up at WCW? I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, are we going to... Are you going to go? I think Stu's got tickets, isn't he?
I think I'm listening to the 77 Club that week. No, tell a lie. I'm watching paint dry.
It should be a good night, though, I think.
It probably will be a laugh.
Yeah, I think it'll be really good. It's a really good show. I think they've done a really good job with that.
It's
with that
a school podcast. Night as well.
Yeah. Isn't it the day before the Chelsea game?
After.
Yeah,
but
hopefully it won't be a depressing affair then.
Nah.
I think it'll be good. I think some of us will be going.
They are good lads, to be fair.
Yeah. They're alright.
Just
if you wanna...
£6.
That's not bad though, is it? £6 not bad.
No, I'm just tight.
I've spent £6 on a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. 1877 Wolves. Does anyone know what Ebanks Lendell is doing these days? Well, he's still in their version of the Bomb Squad, isn't he?
I saw him on Celebs Go Dating recently, I'm sure.
Is he not?
He looked exactly like one of the blokes on there.
Did he not go back to MK Dons?
Nah.
Is he back here?
And they're in League 2. He wasn't even good enough for them.
Jeez. Poor lad.
He won two League 1 titles in a row almost, I think, when he went on loan to Sheffield United after winning it with us. And then he got MK Dons relegated. But yeah. Clearly, yeah.
And that's it, gentlemen. That's all the chat for Twitter Corner. Enough burger chat, hopefully, to accommodate your listening this week. And that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. And if you want to follow us all week on social, you can do. Just type in Wolves Fancast and you'll probably find us there. And thanks to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media and Hill & Smith Limited as well. We'll be back next week to talk about that game against Spurs. All the limbs, I'm sure, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
So much carnage.
Limbs all out. AOTS.
Yeah. What tangents have we got for the end here now? It's usually something before we properly go.
Do you want to, what tangent do you want?
You got a nice hat there, to be fair, Dan.
I always have to accessorise with a hat.
It's a nice.
That's
nice
why I went bald so quickly, because I was wearing hats from an early age.
Seriously?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Okay.
Do you want to get this deep for the end of tangent?
You sure?
Thing.
I tried. Tried regain. Tried.
But sometimes I find you just embrace it, you'll be fine.
Oh, I've been told by many, many ladies now that the bald head suits me.
Okay, that's all right.
Well,
it's all about the shape of the head, though, isn't it? The baldness.
One lady was my mum.
And on that note.
And on that note, thanks for listening. It's bye from Dan.
Bye bye.
Bye from Gully.
Good night.
Bye from me. See you next time.